Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kakis is batting fifth, which it's been when he's healthy, and that was the one spot where we kind of started to look and say, maybe you make a move.
Right.
Maybe you try to move Dansby up because he's been hot. They're not doing that. Nick Markakis going fifth. Adam Duvall batting sixth and playing left field.
Mm-hmm.
That's the change. Matt Joyce had been in that spot. Now, Joyce had been playing right field, and Markakis had been playing left field. So Markakis goes back to right field, which is great. Cakes is an excellent outfielder.
He is.
Not hitting the baseball at all, but neither is Donaldson or Freeman. And then Brian McCann is batting seventh, playing catcher. Dansby Swanson stays at eighth, playing shortstop. And Mike Foltynewicz is pitching. You made this point to me in the break, Randy. It's a great point. Can you believe that we're sitting here in an elimination game of the playoffs with the Braves? And Adam Duvall being placed into the lineup is like a cause for joy.
Yeah.
Like people are so excited that Adam Duvall is starting tonight. Baseball's crazy.
You remember they were talking about bringing him up? They were like, no, he can't hit. No, he can't do
There's
that.
There's a reason he's in the minors.
Even though he was raking up there in the minors.
Like 30 home runs.
Yeah, we're like, no. I mean, then he comes in and, I mean, I got one. Sporting News just put out his best college football movies of all time.
Okay.
Rudy's number one.
Sporting News said Rudy is number one?
Yes.
Well, that list is void.
Yes, okay.
Null in void.
Yeah. All right.
The movie sucks.
Continue.
All right. Anyway, it doesn't suck. It doesn't suck. It's just not. Yeah, it's okay. All right. So back to the lineup. There's no surprises when it comes to the top four, and that's fine with me. I also like the idea of leaving Dansby at number eight. And I got some people talking about maybe moving him up, strengthening that middle of your lineup. The bottom line is, if Freddie Freeman, Josh Donaldson, Nick Markakis don't hit the baseball, it doesn't matter where you're going to put them. The Braves, it's very difficult for them to win if those guys aren't hitting.
Yeah.
They've got to come to play today.
But
I like the idea of Dansby Swanson being back there at the end of the lineup, because if you sacrifice him for one of those other guys, the way Brian McCann has been hitting the ball, Folty is an out. Like, Folty's getting out when he goes up to the plate. He's not even interested in batting. He might bunt, maybe, but he's not interested in hitting at all. I don't want one-third of my lineup to just be easy outs. So I like having Dansby back there at number eight. Lengthens the lineup a little bit, but again, it comes back to that top four. The reason the Braves won 97 games this year is because of Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies, Freddie Freeman, and Josh Donaldson. Well, Freddie Freeman and Josh Donaldson have not been present in this series.
They have not done
that
anything.
Has to change tonight.
They got and JD, they have a big hit. It was game one.
That's fair.
They had a big hit in game one, but we got to get more out of this lineup, Andy. Right now, this is the biggest game of your season so far. And in order for you to win these type of games, your big-time players have got to show up in these games. And I expect these vets to show up and find a way to get the ball on the ground or ball in the air and bring in some runs.
Now, Freddie Freeman didn't work out yesterday. They had their like little short abbreviated day off workout at the ballpark. There was media session as well. And Freddie wasn't on the field working out, which is exactly the right thing to do. Like, Freddie benefited, I guess, it seemed, from the getting a couple days off a couple weeks ago. And he got the two hits that he has in the series came in game one.
Right.
So that came off of a little bit of rest. It really comes down to Freddie Freeman just being able to give you one or two good swings. Like, I think we have to be realistic about what Freddie is right now. You're not getting July Freddie Freeman.
No.
Like, you're not getting the Freddie Freeman that was leading Major League Baseball in RBIs and almost hit 40 home runs this year. Sorry, that Freddie Freeman's just not here right now. He's got six hits since September 12th.
Yeah.
That Freddie Freeman is hopefully coming back next year after he has a procedure on his elbow. But what we need tonight is Freddie Freeman, who can give you a couple good swings if he gets in a spot like he was the other night to drive in. And I guess, I mean, this is a bridge we'll cross, hopefully, and have to worry about tomorrow, is what you do with Freddie Freeman if he still can't hit and you get to the NLCS. But that's a problem I want to deal with.
We'll do that.
I hope to deal with that problem.
We'll deal with that tomorrow, all right, because we are going to win tonight. The Braves will win tonight, and we'll deal with that tomorrow. I expect Freddie to play better, but you're absolutely correct. What if after they win, he's still not hitting the ball? What do you do? And I still say you keep him in there because he's Freddie freaking Freeman.
He's always going to be Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
He just can't hit, it doesn't seem like. Maybe he'll be able to hit today. Maybe. And that's the thing about Freddie, and that's why you throw him in there, Randy, your point. Like, it wouldn't be shocking if Freddie went 3-for-5 tonight with a home run.
It wouldn't be.
That's the great thing about Freddie, and hopefully he does. And it's very unpredictable with bone spurs, and I've heard different people say different things about it. Like, I think the only thing you can do is rest.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's a football mentality of shoot it up with something.
Yep.
I don't think you can do that.
Yep.
Like, because you got to be able to feel it
somebody,
in order to swing the bat.
Somebody said that yesterday. Man, tell them to shoot it up. I mean, I don't
think it works like that.
Does it work like that in baseball?
I don't think so.
I've numbed body parts and everything and wouldn't play the game and didn't worry about it.
Sure.
You know, it's just after all that wears off.
Then it really, really
yeah,
hurts.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, man.
It's all about the 60 minutes of the game, the nine innings of the game.
Hey, can this get me through 3 hours?
Another major factor, maybe the biggest factor, beyond Freddie in the middle of that lineup hitting, beyond Ronald Acuna being the superstar that he is, Mike Foltynewicz has to go out there tonight and be great.
It's kind of just like a chess game a little bit, and he just got to go out there and really just focus and execute. You know, he's seen a good job, I think, of both teams, of just really slowing the game down. And making pitches, timely hitting, all that stuff. I mean, just all these games, all four of these games have just been tremendous. I don't even have any nails right now. I mean, it's just edge of the seat.
It's been a fun game, man.
It's been an amazing series.
Yeah.
But it really only will be remembered as an amazing series if the Braves win tonight.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think back on series you lost and say, boy, was that just a great battle. No, it sucked. We lost. Win the game tonight, and then we can look back on it and say, boy, remember that? The St. Louis series of 2019,
yeah.
Boy, was this team resilient. And hopefully we say that. Mike Foltynewicz speaks for all of us. Nobody's got any fingernails left. What's your nervous tick? You chew your fingernails?
I guess.
I don't chew my fingernails.
I just chew them anyways. But, no, I mean.
You just like how they taste?
I guess so. You can say that.
Okay.
Yeah. But he's got to deal with that. I mean, you know, when you look at Goldschmidt and Ozuna, they've been the key to all their runs, man.
Yeah.
Basically, they've been the key. And if you can find a way to keep them off base and keep the ball on the ground because, and I'm talking about they've been smashing home runs.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Carpenter, you know, he's a veteran player that, you know, he's not the defender, but they leave him in for offense, and they're willing to sacrifice that. You saw that in the game last week when the ball hit him.
Booted the ball
in
the third base, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They gave him a hit on that,
yeah,
by
know,
the way.
I know. Hit him right in the chest. So
friendly scoring on that one.
He's got to do the job. I have faith in Folty that he's going to do his job today. My thing is I think I would have a lot more faith in this team. Well, I believe they're going to win, but I need Fred and Josh to show me something. They got to get something. Something. I mean, boom. Need it. I need it, Freddie.
I know.
I need it, Rain, man.
I wish there was a bracelet we could wear for Freddie. Like, we got the Folty thing covered.
Bring her the rain. I need it, baby.
Bring an umbrella with you.
I got my fake umbrella. Fake umbrella.
Well, what's the Freddie thing? Just do some elbow exercises?
Freddie's so cool. Freddie's just cool.
And hope that you can, like, transfer your healthy elbow over. He can have my elbow if he wants it. I don't need it. I don't need an elbow to do this show.
He's the champion that dominate. Yeah, he's the other side.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Don't be a little blank for Folty. Champions dominate for Freddie. I'll take that.
So you give me your arm?
If I could give Freddie my elbow health right now, and I would take his bone spurs, I'd do that in a minute. What do I? You're doing the show with bone spurs?
And they're my feet.
I know, but I'd
sit down.
I would happily take bone spurs as well. I could do a radio show with bone spurs. I can't hit a fastball. I can't hit a fastball either way.
But you can't do what you like to do, work in the yard and build stuff?
I'll figure it out. I'll overcome somehow. I just need Freddie to hit the baseball tonight.
I was just a little kid when that happened. So, history's history. We're in the moment now, and this is a completely different and new team. So, like I said, we're going to focus on being the best we can tomorrow.
And that's Dansby Swanson making an important point as far as he's concerned. Absolutely. What happened in 2002 against Barry Bonds has nothing to do with Dansby Swanson.
So correct.
What happened in 2003 to Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor has nothing to do with Dansby Swanson.
So true.
And what happens tonight has nothing to do with any sort of curse or any sort of history or anything like that.
So true.
For Dansby Swanson and the Braves. Not true for the fan base. It's not. Like, and it shouldn't be. Like, we have baggage as fans. It's been 18 years for fans.
Mm-hmm.
The way that everyone reacted on Monday night when the third Molina brother hit the walk-off sacrifice fly and the Braves lost that game is because of that scar tissue. So for Dansby, he needs to focus on tonight's game, absolutely. But all that other stuff, all that baggage, it's coming into the park tonight with the fans. You're going to be able to cut the nerves with a knife that stadium.
All of the pressure is on the Atlanta Braves.
That's a fact.
All the pressure is on the LA Dodgers. Just relax. All right, because one thing I don't want you going crazy. I don't want you to have to go chase Ashley down the stairs because she's crying and she's mad and she might
We're going to need a rage room at the house tonight if the Braves
don't
win.
You know what I'm saying? Might trip the beer man or something. I don't want that for you. Right. I want you to go have a good time with your lady.
Let's ease the tension briefly by giving away $1,000.
Loot.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Drums. Drums. I like to play the drums.
Do you? Though,
yeah.
You know how to play the drums?
I like playing, man. I say I know how to.
Oh.
You have it to 1259 to text the word drums with an S to 72881 from your cell phone. That's 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, the word is drums.
D-R-U-M-S.
Yes.
Drums. Do they still have that giant drum at SunTrust? I know they had it at the... They had it at
I don't know.
At the Georgia State Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had it at Turner Field. Did they have it at SunTrust? I think I've seen it out there in the outfield.
I'd
like to hear that drum today. Because that drum happens when good things are happening for the Braves. Yes.
Yeah.
We need to hear a lot of that tonight.
We need to get let's just go. I mean, I want to see the cell phones and everything light up when we making them change pitches. We need to bust up the Cardinals.
Here's another great point from Dansby.
You know, we would have liked to have been able to, end it yesterday in St. Louis. But the reality is, we have another chance tomorrow to do accomplish what we want to accomplish. So being able to do it in front of these fans would be obviously something that they deserve. And be awesome to be able to do it here in Atlanta. So, we're going to prepare today and again tomorrow to be ready.
And I agree with that. Obviously, it would have been nice to have it over with.
Yes.
But you won 97 games in the regular season for a reason.
Yes.
So you get this game at home.
Yes.
And
we're going to bust up the Cardinals.
I'm going to be there. Like, there's nothing better than being in the building for an elimination game that your
crazy.
Team wins.
It's going to be crazy.
There's nothing better than that.
It's going to be crazy.
Like, people are going to be hugging people they never met before.
I'm going to be at the bar hugging
Here's
folks.
Something that's going to happen tonight.
What's that?
Braves win tonight.
Uh-huh.
And you're a single man.
Uh-huh.
Go out in the Battery. Like, it'd be a good night to meet somebody.
Oh.
It would be.
All right.
I'm telling you.
Okay. I mean, you ain't telling me.
Well,
I'm not
you're
going.
Not single,
yeah,
but I'm
not
just
going.
Saying, like,
yeah.
You know, could get out to the Battery tonight. If things go well, it might be a good night to shoot your shot.
If it don't go well, they're going to need somebody's shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, but no one wants that. Like, that's not the fun energy you're looking for. That's not the type of hookup I like.
Okay,
like
been,
a sad one? Nah.
You've been single before. Yeah, you've been
I don't need
before.
A Jimmy the Drunk hookup.
You've been single before.
I've been, oh, right.
Like
look,
say.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Exactly.
We've all been there. I'm just saying, the celebratory hookup is a lot better than the.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
If they win, get out to the Battery, buy a drink, and, see what happens.
You know, in this kind of game where they're a more wide open offense, you'll need all the rushers you can, all the movement you can. And so I would say everybody, all hands on deck, if you're active, you're up and going.
Hey.
To play really fast and rely on that speed and physicality that we like. So I want to make sure that run and hit factor is fully alive and well here in Arizona.
That's kind of funny. Brian Snicker said all hands on deck, too.
He did.
About tonight's game.
He did.
I'm more confident in the all hands on deck for the Braves than I am for Dan Quinn and his pass rush, unfortunately. It looked great, all hands on deck for the pass rush against the Arizona Cardinals. But hasn't that been true already?
Like, yeah.
They've had all hands. They've got 5 sacks in 5 games.
Yeah, they got some issues they got to work out. But the one thing about it is when you're playing this spread passing game that the Cardinals are implementing, you got to have extra rushers because you're going to get tired because you're going to keep rushing over and over and over again. They want to sit back in that shotgun and huck the ball around, but they got a good runner. You know how Fitz gets busy. But, yeah, you got to get after this dude, man. And he helps with the sacks because he's usually not where he's supposed to be back there. That's Kyler Murray I'm talking about.
I'd like to put the hands on the quarterback, not on the deck. Maybe that's the problem. The hands have been on the deck already. Put them on Kyler. They've gotten no hands on quarterbacks this year. It's a bad joke. Whatever. I don't care. Sack the quarterback, okay? We'll come back and get to our lunchtime Falcons report. Dave Archer's going to join
that
us.
So bad.
Well, whatever, man. You make a joke once in a while. All right? Thanks for listening to us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as well as on radio.com. We appreciate that, too. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I don't know. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Wednesday. Game day Wednesday.
Big time.
Braves Cardinals tonight.
Big time. Stop. Stop with the nervousness on your face. I see it on your face.
I'm allowed to be nervous.
No.
Yes, I am.
We are relaxed here, man, on the Midday Show. We're not uptight like other people, man.
You go ahead and be relaxed.
Relax.
Okay, you go ahead and be relaxed. That's
because
fine.
You know what's going to happen?
What?
You're going to drive yourself crazy all day. You're going to have a headache and earache and all that, man.
Let me deal with
that. Just relax.
I'm fine. Just let me handle
that. Smooth socks with sandals on with your jeans today, too.
You don't have to tell people that. It's fine. We'll get the three damn good dogs questions coming up in 20 minutes. Brian Gebhardt in studio with us. We'll get back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour. But it is 12:20, which means it's time for our Lunchtime Falcons Report every single day. And every single Wednesday, that means we're joined by Dave Archer from the Falcons Radio Network. Arch, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm sure glad you're not going to have to take any – you're not going to have to hit for us or anything like that. I'm a little concerned about your lack of faith in the boys. Fulte's going to go get it done, man.
Yeah,
I have,
that's right.
I have faith. I'm just nervous about it. That's all. It's a knockout game. And there's a lot of reasons why you should be happy that I'm not playing tonight, Arch. There's absolutely nothing positive would happen from that. We'll get to I do want to ask you about the Braves at the end of the conversation, because I know you're into it and you're going to be watching tonight as well. But we know the Falcons are out in Arizona. They stayed out there on the West Coast this week, and a lot of folks have talked about that being beneficial. Why, in your mind, is it going to be beneficial for them to spend that time out there with each other all week long?
Well, as much as we'd like to say it, and Randy and I both agree with this, as much as you like to think you're out of the noise, you're never out of the noise. There's always conversation. So if you can, you know, kind of displace yourself a little bit, they're out on the West Coast. So there's not a lot of conversation about Falcons out in that West Coast time frame. So you get away from that a little bit. And then you do get a circle of wagons a little bit. You're all in the same building. People aren't dispersing at night to go home to their families and all those type of things and all the troubles that go along. And let's not forget, these guys are human beings, so they have a lot of other stuff going on in their lives, just like we all do, where your kids are sick or you got something going on with an investment or whatever it is. There's a lot of things going on to these guys that are outside of football that they have to worry about, but not this week. This is one of those weeks where you kind of get everybody together. And if you did have to have those moments where you sat down as a position group or a defensive team unit or a full team unit and had a chance to sit down and talk and kind of reinvest and think about what hasn't gone right and how do we get it right and how do you move forward from here? Because, you know, there's water under the bridge now. You can't do anything about the ones in the past. You just got to make sure the ones in the past don't beat you this weekend. And all those things can kind of come together in this controlled atmosphere out in the hotel in Arizona.
And right now, Dave, you just want to get a win. You don't worry about how many what teams 1-4 have done and got to play. Just get one win. I mean, that's just the mentality that I think they should have. But when you look at this game, Dave, and you look at how the Arizona wants to play it, would you think you'd be a little bit more nickel this game? Because I know Dan's talking about some personnel changes and all that, but is a adding a corner here or is Russia here, there, or are going to save this team? Because right now, the players just got to play better.
Yeah, and I don't know that you're even thinking about, Randy, trying to save the team. I think what you said initially is you're just trying to get a win this week. And so if it means changing a corner, it means bringing somebody up off the practice squad like a Larkin to rush the passer, whatever it might be, all you're trying to do is put pieces in place for this week. You know, you worry about Seattle and the Rams down the road, but this week you're just trying to get a win on the road in this game this week. So I think that's where the fine focus has to be.
Right.
I do think that a player or two with a little bit more fire under their in their belly or an opportunity, they sense an opportunity that maybe they're going to get on the field a little bit more if they can perform well in this game. I do think it brings a little bit more energy to the team. Now, whether we see that or not, whether we see Kendrell Sheffield start at corner like we saw him at the end of the game, he was in the game there at the end with Isaiah Oliver sitting on the bench when they're in a base package, whether it's something like that or maybe even something more than that, we'll have to wait and see. But I do think that there's it creates some energy, creates some anxieties, and sometimes, as you know, Randy, you know, some of those anxieties kind of rekindle the fire a little
they
bit
do.
And kind of get you focused a little bit more.
How much is it possible to really change at this point? And I know we're talking about, you know, getting new guys on the field, like you just said, maybe a couple guys or two. But, you know, you're five games into a season. Dan Quinn's got the philosophy that he has, especially on defense. Like, how much can a team really change in season?
Well, I don't know if you necessarily change your philosophy, and I'm not sure that we've identified a philosophy defensively yet. Have we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've seen zone coverage off. We've seen three-man pass rush. We've seen extra guys coming at the quarterback. We've seen man coverage. We've seen zone coverage. And so I think you have to mix, and I think you'll have to continue to mix in this week. But I'm not sure that Dan's necessarily put his finger on what this team is. We hear each and every year that coaches, as much as we in the media, and that does include you, Randy, that, would like to say, okay, this team compared to last year's team, compared to the team in 2016, it's a different team, different group of guys, different chemistry. And so I think they're still searching for that. But you know, you guys have talked about it all week long. You've kind of, in a golf analogy, given away all of your mulligans. You don't have any left now. So now it has to, you got to hit it for real and it has to count. And so that part of it's got to be gone. So, but I do think you can still identify who you are. And I think that even on the offensive side, Andy, I think you're more, as much as you wanted to run the football and as much as you wanted to come off the ball and mash people in the run game, the offensive line injuries, the inconsistency along the offensive line has turned you back into probably what you were all along. And that's a perimeter passing attack. That's facilitated by the quarterback and all those great weapons you have on the outside, and you mix the run as a changeup.
Dave, last week Arizona got their first win against a really, really bad Cincinnati Bengals team. I don't think this team is that much better than them also. Tell me a little bit about this Arizona team as far as what they're trying to do with Kyler Murray and the weapons that he has out there in Arizona.
Well, I think as much as, you know, we think about an identity for the Falcons, I think that Cliff Kingsbury's still trying to figure out what he can get away with at this level, you know, and he's a good football coach and an excellent offensive mind, but he's still trying to transition that to this level, you know, and trying to do what you might have done with Kyler Murray at Texas Tech or what he did at Oklahoma. You know, frankly, it doesn't completely translate to this level. There's big and bad guys at every position. You don't have those weak sisters that you're going to play maybe three, four times a week or three, four times a year at the college level. So he's finding that each and every week he better be locked and loaded or it's going to be a long day. I think Murray is kind of discovering those kind of things as well. The one thing we do know about Murray, and that it's different than other quarterbacks, if this kid gets outside the pocket, it can be an 80-yard touchdown. I mean, we're not talking about scramble like Deshaun Watson did and maybe have a 25, 30-yard run or scramble to buy time, which I think Kyler does a good job of trying to stay a passer. But as a young quarterback, and I can identify this significantly because I could move around a little bit when I came out, if that first read isn't there or I'm getting a little bit of pressure, I'm relying on my athleticism to do something myself, and I'm going to go run with the ball. Maybe sometimes to a detriment to your team. This guy's got elite speed. He could possibly be the fastest player on the field on Sunday, so you better make sure you got him hemmed in where he can't be in a factor in a run game.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy for our lunchtime Falcons report. We've been talking about it all day as well. Big Braves game tonight. You mentioned it off the top, Dave. Where are you watching the game tonight?
I'll be sitting here at home excited about it. I mean, there's nothing better than October baseball, guys. I love sports. I love the NCAA basketball tournament. I like the NBA finals. But when it comes to October baseball, it's really the time I sit and watch pitch for pitch, and I'll be excited to watch Folty go head-to-head with Flaherty tonight, and I think it's going to be a great pitching matchup, and hopefully Ronald Acuna can stay hot, and we can get those guys in the middle of the order going. We need Donaldson to make some rain tonight, and if he can, I think the Bravos are playing, who knows, maybe the Dodgers get upset by the Nationals. The Nationals have made that a nice series as well. So we got great National League baseball tonight. Early and late.
Yeah, that's a great point. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, obviously we want the Braves to win no matter what. But wouldn't it be nice for the Braves to do what they need to do and then be able to just sit there and enjoy that Nationals-Dodgers game with no stress? Like, all right, whoever ends up being in the NLCS ends up being in the NLCS. That's what tonight could be if the Braves do what you just talked about, Dave. We appreciate it. As always, we will chat with you next
Wednesday.
Appreciate
it, Arch.
Thanks, fellas. Take care now.
All right.
Dave Archer there from the Falcons Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter at ArcherQB16. And look, we're all going to be doing the same thing tonight at 5:02. Whether you're Dave Archer and you're still thinking about the Falcons this weekend or whoever you are. Everybody, whether you're at the game or you're at home or you're with Randy at the, what is it?
The dude said the
whatever
what
it is,
it called?
Wherever you're going,
wherever
it is that you're going to be, you're going to be watching the Braves and the Nationals, or the Braves and the Cardinals tonight at 5:02.
Five paces in Buckhead. Yeah, he said he got my first three rounds, and they got cheesecake.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Hoping somewhere closer.
We just well, again, if somebody has a better suggestion in Gwinnett, you could let him know. Look, Arch hits on a lot of important points there, and I think the thing that really stood out to me is he's absolutely right. Like, We talk about wanting the Falcons to change something on defense.
They can't.
But they have. They've tried a lot of different stuff.
Yeah, maybe. And that's when it goes back to this, and something I said earlier in the show. Sometimes it just ain't the scheme. Sometimes it's just the players. Sometimes it's just the players that in the scheme that's got to play better. Now, if Sheffield goes in and he becomes a starter this Sunday or whatever, he goes out and play well, boom. But if he does it, okay, we're used to you not playing good back there. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Dan does with his defense. They're going to have to bring them rushes because Kyler is, you know, that dude can run. And what do we talk about all – what was it right before the Philly game? Yeah, the contained aspect of it. He's right. You don't want to let that dude get outside that pocket because he can flat out fly. You saw that last week in Cincinnati where he ran right in the gut and put him in a position to win that football
game. Is it normal what Dave was describing there, though, to be five games into a season and still kind of like Dan Quinn? I don't know if it's guess and check, but like just be throwing out different ideas. All right, we're going to go man here. We're going to go zone here. We're going to do this here. I know you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, five games into a season, is it normal to not know yet?
Because nothing's working. So, yeah. No, I mean, when nothing's working, you better believe it's normal because you don't know what to do. Sometimes you just don't, as a play caller, as a head coach, you just don't know what to call or say sometimes. That just happens when you lose.
That's got
to
be infuriating.
Dude, I bet he want to punch
this
somebody
in. This isn't working. All right, let's try this. Oh, that's not working.
Yeah, but you know what's working.
What?
It's our Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament.
That's working.
It's at Stars and Strikes, people, in Sandy Springs. It's on Wednesday, October 23rd. From 4 to 7, and it is benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. There are going to be plenty of celebrities up in there. It's a two-game bowling tournament with trophies and prizes. And for ticket information, please, please, please go to the events page at 929thegame.com.
That segue right there, that was a media guy segue.
Why? Because I like...
That was good.
What?
From what's working to what's working. Just smooth, man.
Really?
Just a real live media member right here. Even Dave Archer said so.
Really? It's we'll a radio guy.
Yeah, that's true. Also a radio guy. Three damn good dogs questions coming up next with Brian Gebhardt right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for some damn good dog questions with Brian Gebhardt.
There we go.
There we go, Steve.
Some instead of three. Although it's funny because today there actually are three.
Yes.
Instead of some. So
we need to get this thing together.
Brian Gebhardt is just a riddle wrapped inside of a... What is it? Haiku,
an enigma,
yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that. But before we get to that, everybody, make sure you guys tune in Dukes and Bell today for a chance to win Atlanta Braves playoff tickets for today's game.
Today's game.
I need y'all to remember this code word, relentless. Relentless for an on-air giveaway. Braves playoff tickets giveaway courtesy of the Papa John's Pizza. They're guys over at Murph, so go over there and hang out with them. But make sure you remember the word relentless.
Relentless. That'd be an easy one to remember.
Thanks again, and we want to thank Papa John's again.
We do. Thanks, Papa John's. Somebody's going, or two people are going to the Braves game today, courtesy of Dukes and Bell, which is fantastic. So game's coming up today at 5:02. We'll get back into some Braves conversation at the top of the 1 o'clock hour in What's Trending. Jason Longshore going to stop by for his Wednesday visit in studio at 1:20. Hang around for the AMA as well. Jason, as you know, lifelong Atlanta native, diehard Braves fan.
Yes.
We're going to mix in some Braves conversation with Jason as well.
And we're going to talk about the documentary that we all saw.
Oh, yeah. We finally all watched the Maradona documentary, so we can talk about what a badass Diego Maradona was. All right. Before we get to any of that, though, Brian Gebhardt is in studio with three actual damn good dogs questions.
So we had four questions yesterday, only got to three. The fourth one was about Kirby Smart, Will Muschamp, their relationship. I want you to hear this first cut from Kirby. There's two different ones, but the first one, Kirby talking about being friends with Will Muschamp.
Where we became closer was the opportunity he gave me to come to Valdosta State, he and Chris Hatcher, and we worked together there, and then we worked together at LSU, and those two years we spent in the same staff, we probably bonded more than we did while we were here.
That's all fine and dandy, and their friendship has been well documented. People are very familiar with that. But I want you to hear this one where Kirby drools about him more about a coach than their relationship, their friendship. Take a listen.
He's always been a very intense coach, good football coach. I think he does a good job running a program, and that has allowed us to share information when possible, when it's not about scheme and it's more about philosophy.
So sharing information was the key word there. Question for you guys. South Carolina, they currently sit 2-3 overall. They've got Georgia, Florida, Texas A&M, and Clemson still on the schedule, not to mention a few other games that they could lose.
Yeah, ooh.
It could get really ugly there. And there's a chance that Muschamp might be gone. I know this is something I brought up to Randy earlier in the season, may have been on the College Football Game Time show. Do you think Will Muschamp could be the defensive coordinator at Georgia next year or within the next 2 years?
Well, I think he can be on the staff because Kirby is taking a kind of a page out of Nick Saban's analyst thing, because I think if he's not at Georgia, he'll be at Alabama.
Right.
And I mean, when Will and him were at Valdosta, my brother Tobias played for him down there in Valdosta. And I remember when Kirby came to Miami and Will Muschamp was the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins, even though he wasn't entitled.
Right.
Kirby was on that staff. They've been knowing each other forever, man. And it wouldn't surprise me if Will Muschamp sometime in Kirby's tenure becomes a defensive coordinator.
You played with Kirby, right?
I did.
Did you play with Muschamp
too?
No. That wasn't the same time?
No, that was right. He's probably about 5 years old.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't
realize that.
Yeah, but I think he played with Kirby, though.
There was a one-year
overlap?
Yeah,
it was a one-year overlap with those two.
But then they've worked together.
Yeah, it was a four-year overlap with me and Kirby.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I don't know if he's the defensive coordinator next year, but like Randy said, Kirby's going to find money if he's not the coach at South Carolina and pay him to be in Athens. And to me, that's one of those things where when we talk about conferences – and certain programs having advantages over other programs, it's not an unfair advantage, but it's an advantage.
Right.
Georgia has the resources right now to do that. Like, partially because of the SEC network money. They're getting so much money from TV contracts. Partially just because of how much money they're generating right now. Partially because of boosters. Like, that's what you're saying. That's that Alabama model of...
Become an analyst.
Not just are we going to have, like, 19 coaches on staff... They were going to have these – like, that's what Sark was. Mm-hmm. Sark was an analyst at Alabama for a minute, and then when Kiffin left to take the job when he left for the national championship game, then they just promoted Sark because he was already on staff. Like, yes, I absolutely think that if Will Muschamp is not at South Carolina next year, which I don't think that he will be, he'll be in Athens.
And that's the thing people forget about Muschamp, how good of a defensive coordinator he was, because he's failed as a head coach at Florida and South Carolina, but when he was at Texas with those defenses,
he's really good.
Coach in waiting, he was exceptional there.
Did you say that Kirby was drooling over Muschamp?
Yeah,
he
sharing ideas.
A little drooling. Okay,
all right, I sold it a little bit. I'm sorry. You know,
well, he kind of was.
Yeah, a little bit.
Question two.
All right, question two. Kirby Smart, not drooling, just talking highly about his running back Brian Harry, and want you to listen to this cut, and then I got a question off of it.
Now, the Brian I'm seeing now is the Brian that I've always seen. Brian has been perfectly capable, and when he got his opportunity, I mean, he seized his opportunity. The times he got those opportunities in the past, he's just getting more opportunity now. I think his vision, his decision-making, he catches the ball well out of the backfield. He runs really hard.
Thanks for the compliments, Coach. I appreciate it. Chip Towers wrote this article in the AJC yesterday, and it was talking about dog yards, which is just yards after contact. Brian Harrion is leading the team in that, and we talked a little bit about his role yesterday. Is he officially kind of the 1B back and that Elijah Holyfield role for this team moving forward?
Yeah. But easily, I think so.
But he's a better receiver than Elijah was. But the thing with him is he runs hard, man. And I still remember this kid because he was a late signee. And I remember somebody said something about, hey, watch this kid Brian Harrion that's coming in as a running back. And I just always kept my eye on him because he's the guy that they lined up at fullback before. I mean, the young man, he is just the typical – you know, team player. Whatever you need me to do, Coach, I'm doing.
And that's a great way to put it. That was a great article by Chip Towers yesterday. Also a cool article from Seth Emerson yesterday about guys like Brian Harrion and Justin Young and other guys that maybe would have transferred out of other programs, because Brian Harrion could be the number one running back at another program in America right now. And he's been behind some really good guys that are in the NFL right now. But he stuck it out and didn't transfer. I think that's a credit to Kirby's. One of the things that Kirby's done really well, I know he's had some quarterbacks transfer, but there's only one quarterback that can be on the field at a time.
Right.
Is he's got those guys that are like maybe average players at Georgia that could be stars someplace else to stay at Georgia and provide that depth that they have right now. In the era of the transfer portal, which is what Seth Emerson said, Kirby's done a really nice job of maintaining that talent that other programs have lost. Like Tennessee has lost a million guys over
Florida.
The last couple of Florida over the last couple of months. Yeah, it's a credit to Kirby too.
All right, we got under a minute, guys. 2018 national championship at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 2008 Bama blackout game at Sanford.
Oh God.
2002 NLDS game 5 at Turner Field.
What are you doing?
2003.
What are we
Dude,
doing
are you
right
serious?
Now? What are
Wendy,
we listing?
Wendy,
hold
Wendy,
on.
Wendy, cut his mic.
No, let him go.
Cut his mic.
Let him go.
Okay. Are you serious?
I can keep going.
It's
2004 NLDS. These are all games I've personally attended.
Oh.
So talk me off a ledge for tonight, guys.
Dude.
You're not going to the game tonight.
I'm not. No, I will be nowhere close to SunTrust Park.
You're not even allowed in Cobb County.
No, I will not be in the county.
I'm going.
Should I leave the state?
Come hang out with me, man.
Okay.
Dude.
I don't know if you want that.
Did you immediately regret inviting Brian to hang
yeah,
out with you?
Immediately.
That was, because I need somebody to hang out with. You know I'm sad. My wife going out of town.
Yeah,
and I don't want to go home because she's not going to be there.
Okay, but then that was so weird. Like, you invited Brian, and by the time the words got out of your head, you already regretted inviting him. What's that about? You don't want to hang out with Brian?
Brian's going to bring me down because he's going to be that nervous Braves fan like you. I need some upbeat Braves fan to hang out with. They believe in it.
You're the upbeat Braves fan.
So, but I want all the negative folks around.
You got to balance each other out,
tell all
man.
The folks coming. Man, hey, man, shut up, man. Nobody want it. Can you see all them folks coming to me like that?
There's going to be a lot. Brian could be your bodyguard. Okay?
Cool.
All right.
Okay, Brian, you can come now.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, I'll see you later, Randy.
We'll come back and get to what's trending. Jason Longshore going to step in studio in half an hour from right now. All that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.